The following is a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.
Welcome back, Pamela. How you doing?
I'm doing well today, Gil. I'm in a stormy state of mind because that's what we're talking about today. So
yeah, it's been a stormy spring to be sure.
It has been. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk then about emergency preparedness, getting out there in advance of these things. What should you have on hand?
So that is a great question, a great place to start. You want to keep an easy-to-carry bag or suitcase, someplace that's really accessible, just grab and go. And some of the things you want to include in that are a flashlight and extra batteries, first aid supplies, things like sterile gloves, adhesive bandages and dressings, soap or other cleanser, those antibiotic hand sanitizers or towelettes, burn ointment, some eyewash, scissors, tweezers, petroleum jelly, aspirin, stomach analgesics, things like that. And if there are other medicines that folks in your family, you know, take and have to take, put them in a little baggie and label them and make sure they're part of that as well. You also want to take some sanitation and hygiene supplies, moist towelettes and sealed packets, paper towels, some toilet paper, some garbage bags, plastic ties, things like that. Also, put a couple of extra phone chargers in there, a portable radio, and have at least $100 in cash in your kit because, you know, if it's a true emergency, you don't know when you might be able to get back to your house or to an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to have water, too. 1 gallon per person per day for at least 3 days is the rule of thumb, and that's both covers for drinking and sanitation. Double it if you live in a very hot climate, you have really young children, or if you're a nursing mother. Bottled water is best, but you can also store tap water in food-grade containers or empty 2-liter soda bottles you may have around, but you want to make sure you've cleaned them well and sanitized them first. And if you have a pet, cat or a dog or a gerbil or something else, you want to think about their water needs as well. You also want to make sure food is part of your emergency kit. Generally, again, it's at least a 3-day supply. 3 days is the thing to remember. And you want them to be non-perishable. You also want to make sure you pack the can opener so you can get at them if they're in cans. And you want to think in terms of packing some proteins, some fruits, some vegetables, but make sure they're in a form that you actually like. It's bad enough not to have access to fresh food, but if you also have to subsist on nothing but canned tuna and you don't like tuna, that's going to be a really dark day for you. So include some treats in there, too, like cereal bars, trail mixes, some candy bars. And you want to store the food in pest-proof plastic or metal tubs and keep it in a cool, dry place. You can, if this sounds like a lot of work to put all together, you can also buy kits from the Red Cross. And we have more information about that at HouseLogic.com.
Great. Now, there are some people that live in flood-prone areas. What are some specific things that they can do?
Well, you know, if you are, if you've had a flood or you think you're about to have a big flood in your area, you want to shut off power at the main electrical panel in your home. But if you've already had some flooding, leave it alone. You don't want to be standing in water when you're playing around with your electrical panel.
Right.
The other thing is if you have some warning, move your expensive items. If you have expensive furniture, expensive art pieces, move them to higher ground, a second floor or an attic. Now, this isn't something you necessarily are going to be able to do ahead of a storm, but if you are having a new furnace or water pumps installed in your house and you're in an area that's prone to flooding, your basement tends to flood or whatnot, it would be really great to have them installed about 12 inches above the highest known flood level for your area. That's going to save you a lot of trouble on the back end. Also, if you have any fuel tanks downstairs or outside your house, you want to make sure they're anchored because if they're not, they might float, rupture, and release fuel.
I hate to mention this, and people hate to think about it, but it's something they do have to think about because it happens in flooding. The sewer backs up, and what are steps that people can be thinking about or just write down somewhere about preventing that?
Yeah, that's a big ew.
Yeah, exactly.
So you want to have a plumber install sewer or septic line check valves, and they allow waste to flow only one way so you don't have the problem. Make sure the plumber installs them at a point in the pipe that's easy to access.
All right, great. And what about after a flood? What do you do then?
Great question. Well, before you remove any water or make any repairs, take pictures of damage for your insurer. That's going to be really important. And while we're talking about taking pictures, let me underscore how important it is, before disaster of any type strikes, to have a catalog of your possessions. Use a digital camera to create a home inventory for insurance purposes, something you should, you know, should do when there's not the threat of a storm or some other disaster coming.
Okay, you talked about having pictures of everything. Tell me about dealing with your insurer.
So dealing with your insurer, that's a tricky thing. You want to call your insurance company as soon as possible after the flood and follow the insurance company's directions about whether or not to wait for an adjuster to inspect the property before you begin making any repairs. You'll want to confirm with your insurer that you'll take pictures before you remove wet wallboards and baseboards so the insurer will be able to see the height of water damage to the walls.
Okay, and just a side note here, groundwater flooding is not covered by homeowners insurance. You will need flood insurance for that. If you have it, your insurer will process that claim, though, even though it is a federal program. So just be aware of that. Pamela, a lot of important stuff, and I take it there's going to be a lot more at houselogic.com.
Absolutely. We have a lot more on how to recover from disaster, emergency preparedness, storm recovery. One of the things that happens a lot in storms is trees. You know, trees come down. And we have a whole section on how to deal with downed trees at House Logic.
Pamela Gertz-Cavati from HouseLogic.com. Pamela, talk to you next week.
Take care, Gil.
You've been listening to a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.